Next on News for the Soul, Inspiration to Creation with Nina Amir. Nina is known as the Inspiration to Creation Coach. She's an intuitive transformational catalyst who elevates consciousness by reminding you who you are, a spiritual being having a physical experience. She'll inspire you to rethink your limiting beliefs, rise to your potential, and become a powerful creator who can live a human life that feeds your soul. Please welcome Nina Amir back to News for the Soul.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Inspiration to Creation Show. I hope you are having an inspiring day so far, wherever you are. It is a great day to get inspired and create something soul-aligned. Wouldn't you agree? So let's do that. Let's get in spirit and create something amazing. So today's topic, well, let me backtrack just a second. So this episode should have aired 2 weeks ago. Excuse me. But we had the eclipse and we had the station go down and there were lots of reasons. And so we just pushed it to today because today is the day that I normally record. And so that's what we're doing. Also, as a heads up, you can hear me clearing my throat. My voice sounds a little raspy, and I'm probably going to have to take a lot of drinks of water, like right now, because I am at the tail end of COVID. 4 years I went without getting it, but I got it. Now my husband's got it. So anyway, I apologize for clearing my throat. Hopefully I won't have to stop and blow my nose or anything like that, but I probably will have to take some drinks of water and clear my throat. Anyway. So, today's topic, recognizing the divine presence every day, was actually inspired by a podcast episode I did many, many, many years ago. I used to do a podcast with a woman who went by Mrs. Claus, yes, like Santa Claus. And her show was called Conversations with Mrs. Claus. And I was her holiday and spirituality expert. And I often talked about how to make holidays of all sorts meaningful and spiritual. And maybe I'll share some of that information here as time goes on. Anyway, I talked about it on her show. And I used to talk about the divine presence a lot, especially when I was more Jewishly oriented. These days, my beliefs are more eclectic and generally spiritual, and of course, metaphysical. But our topic today is still so very relevant to me, and I hope to you. So I decided to revisit it. After all, spiritual people, or people who lean towards spirituality, and even the more woo-woo spirituality like me, want to have spiritual experiences. They want to feel spiritually connected. And that's what this topic is all about. And the divine presence is just another name for God, all that is, source, etc. Now, before we actually do dive in, I want to remind you that there should be time for questions or coaching at the end of the episode. So if you have questions about or would like to be coached on today's topic, again, recognizing the divine presence every day, please do call or write in. I'd love for you to call in so we can chat. I really don't bite. And while emailed questions are good, they don't allow me to tap into your energy or have a conversation with you. And that's what I really would like to do. So call in by dialing 646-595-4274 or email on the air at tellus.net, T-E-L-U-S.net. And all of that information is, of course, at newsforthesoul.com. Okay, start creating, shall we? While a lot of people try to lead a spiritual life by attending church or synagogue services each week or going to the mosque or by meditating and praying alone daily, most often the thoughts or feelings of divine connection they find during those activities are lost super quickly. For those who attend religious services, let's say on Sunday or Monday or Friday or Saturday, I shouldn't have said Monday, usually it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. By Monday morning, when the same people enter the workplace or start doing their normal activities, they've usually lost the connection or sense of being in the presence of the divine, in the presence of source or all that is. Now, despite the fact that most spiritual or religious persuasions hold the belief that God or the divine creator exists everywhere, no matter what a person believes, they probably wouldn't notice the divine presence if it was seated at their boss's desk or at their kitchen table or next to them during their morning prayers or meditations. So if you don't want to feel disconnected from the divine in your everyday life when you're not attending your spiritual practices, like when you're at work or caring for your kids or going grocery shopping, you want to pay attention to this episode. I'm going to share with you my top 12 tips for connecting to the divine source. I should say the divine presence, the source, all that is, God, in everyday life. Whether you're at work, doing your shopping, driving home with colleagues, friends, or family, I'm going to share how to feel or recognize the divine presence, even when you aren't in a sacred space or involved in spiritual practices. After all, isn't that what most of us spirit junkies want? To feel connected to source all the time. To have spiritual knowledge and messages flowing into our conscious minds all the time. To feel one with the one. To be held in the divine presence's warm embrace. I think so. I think that's what we want. So what is this divine presence? Basically, a divine presence is what many people would call God. And, you know, on this show, I try not to use that word. I try to mix it up. But it's what people call God. It's the experience of the divine here, now, all around you, inside you. It's a sensory experience and a knowing that you are connected to something bigger than you. There's so many names for divinity. God, Allah, Krishna, Buddha, Adonai, Source, all that is. I could go on and on. Judaism alone has 72 names for God. In this episode, I'm talking about the divine presence and the feeling of connection to Source. And I'll use many names for God, but I like Source, divine creator, and all that is, to be honest. And I really love the name the divine presence. And I'll explain why in a bit. Excuse me. Now, most of the religious names we've been taught for God don't make us feel close or connected to this divinity. And most people think of Source as far away or up in the heavens or somehow not close at hand or easy to reach. Plus, the word God has a lot of negative connotations for a lot of people, which is why we have so many other different names. Like I said, I usually prefer Source or divine creator, but today I want to speak to the idea of a divine presence, a name I like a lot. Now, in Judaism, the divine presence would be called the Shekhinah, the female aspect of God that dwells on earth. But I don't want to refer to any religion, so I'm not going to use any names for God associated with a specific religion. I just wanted to let you know that. So I always liked that idea of the Shekhinah being this female aspect of God on earth. I'm just going to say divine presence. But let's break down that name, divine presence, and examine what it means. The word divine, of course, refers to something of God or related to God, meaning a supreme being or our source or our creator. It also happens to mean delightful or excellent. The word presence means to be close in proximity to something or to be present. It also means the state or fact of existing, occurring, of being present in a place or a thing and a person or a thing that exists or is present in a place but is not seen. I like to think that Source or God is always in close proximity, close at hand, present in my life. That's why I like the term divine presence. To me, it refers to a source of all that is right here with me all the time. Divine presence is one I can feel connected to, that I can develop a connection with, that I can talk to, be with, feel around me. It's a divinity I can feel, divinity I can relate to and be in relationship with quite easily. After all, it exists in the here and now, even if I can't see it. In fact, it even exists within me. It's not a deity up in heaven or far away. It's close at hand. So I was speaking, and I may have told this story here before, I can't remember, but I was speaking to my friend up in Santa Fe, who's a very well-known spiritual teacher, and I was saying how I wanted to receive more spiritual guidance and feel more connected, and I was kind of waving my hand from up to down. I want to feel more connected, you know, or up. I want to feel more connected up. I want to have spiritual guidance coming down, right? And he corrected me and said, that's the problem. It's not outside you. And he made a big arrow on this whiteboard and wrote on it, collective consciousness. Collective consciousness is the divine presence. It's the source. It's all that is. And then he made a little arrow inside that and said, this is you. So the idea is that whatever it is you think of as divinity or source or creator or collective consciousness, you are in it. You are part of it. And what you really want when you talk about connection is to experience being surrounded by it at all times, having it be part of you, not outside of you. At least that's what I want. Now, for me, I experience the divine presence in moments of awe, often in nature, like watching a gorgeous sunset or watching a bird or animal doing something that brings a smile to my face. Or when I receive a sign, like just before this show, there was a feather that had gotten hooked onto my window. And just the other day, there was a wren that visited my office. I swear it was my mother, and she came inside. Anyway, I experience the divine presence when I see my son dance. He's expressing his gift and purpose. I've always wondered why so many people who try to lead spiritual or religious lives by attending church or, you know, going to the mosque or the synagogue each week and attending services or even by meditating and praying on their own, lose their connection almost as soon as they walk out of the door of the religious space or the room where they pray or meditate. And I've come to a conclusion. And the conclusion is that they simply get caught up in life and in their work and in survival. Their everyday existence makes them forget about the focus they had on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday while they were attending their religious or spiritual services, or in the morning when they said their prayers or sat for meditation. When they do spiritual things, they're focused on the divine presence. They feel spiritual and connected to source, but when they're, you know, when they're in a church or a synagogue or a mosque, they're in a sacred space. So they're focused on sacred things and on God. But once they leave that space, or they stop meditating or praying, they lose that focus and feel disconnected. They allow other things, what they think of as their work lives or their everyday lives, to take precedence over their spiritual lives. They simply stop paying attention to the spiritual side of their lives, and they feel like they lose that connection to the divine presence. But in fact, that spiritual connection is always there. The divine presence remains present. It doesn't go away. It is always here and now. We can feel its presence anytime and anywhere. We don't have to be in a church, mosque, or synagogue to feel connected to God, and we don't have to be meditating or praying. But if we aren't conscious of that presence, then we simply don't feel it, and we forget about it and don't notice it. Now, remember also, the divine presence is inside you. It is you. You are one with it. So you can't ever be disconnected. It's simply a matter of where you focus your attention. And if you say you are disconnected, you will feel disconnected. You create your own experience with your thoughts and your attention and your beliefs. So put your attention on your connection with the divine, with source. And that is what you'll experience. So here's the other thing. Most people spend more than 50% of their time at work. And workplaces tend not to be very conducive environments for spiritual pursuits. And the majority of people do have jobs. So those people who go to offices every day find themselves in places where it's all the more difficult to stay conscious of the divine presence and to feel connected to their spiritual life. But that said, source is everywhere. and in everything, even in offices and businesses and meetings and bosses and coworkers and business deals and the like. And source is there when you're caring for your sick child or handling your flat tire or paying bills or cleaning the house. You simply might not have your attention on that fact, and so you feel disconnected. You are where your attention is. Place it on your connection with Source, on the divine presence, and you're going to feel your connection. Sorry, I'm going to take a drink. How can you recognize the divine in yourself and in others? This is a matter of consciousness or awareness, again. We have to first recognize that the divine is in everything. In the Torah, or the Old Testament, it says in Hebrew, Ein od milvado, so Devarim 4:35. What Ein od milvado means is there is nothing but God. In other words, it's all source. It's all one. Means that the divine presence is in everything, including you and me, including the boss you don't like and the boyfriend or girlfriend who cheated on you or the friend who betrayed you or the school shooter. And of course, it's in the natural world around us. To see this, though, you have to recognize the divine in yourself first. So remember, I don't want to get very religious here or anything, but remember that the Old Testament also tells Christians and Catholics and Jews that we're all created in the divine image. Also, Muslims believe that man is made in the image of God. So what does that mean? It means something different to each person depending on their belief system and their religious background or doctrines. I believe most people of any religion or spiritual background, don't necessarily believe that God has an image, looks like a human. But we have God-like characteristics. For example, I'm always saying we are creators, like the divine creator. To me, among other things, being made in the image of God means that we each have that spark of divinity within us, a God spark, if you will. We're all divine beings. So first we have to look at ourselves, knowing that we have that spark within us. Even, you know, when we don't act in very godly ways or aren't creating what we want, we have to look ourselves in the eye, you know, go in the bathroom and stare at your reflection in the mirror and see beyond your outer appearance and behaviors and words and see what's inside, the part of you that's more than your actions and words. We have to see and know that we have that divine spark within us always, and that our soul, our spirit, the connection to source, the divine presence within is always inside us. It is us. You know the old saying, the eyes are the window to the soul. So look into your own eyes and see your divinity. When you look at other people with that knowing, with that consciousness, it becomes easy to see the divine within them. Now, I admit that sometimes we have to look hard. We have to look past how we as humans are struggling to act in ways that appear more spiritual or divine. We have to look past our children's lying or tantrums or other misbehaviors. We have to look beyond our husband's anger or frustration or lack of faith or indiscretion. We have to look beyond our parents' lack of tolerance or judgment. We have to look beyond our boss's ego and need to control. We have to look beyond humans' desire to be at war and to abuse the planet and to waste our natural resources and to allow ego and pride to dictate how they govern their nations. We have to look beyond all of that. We have to look inside to the core of each human being to find that God spark and remember the fact that we are all created in the image of God. We are all of God. We are all divine beings housing divine sparks. Ein od milvado. There's nothing but God. It's all one. And if we're all part of that one, like my friend Gary with his big arrow of collective consciousness and my little arrow within it, we're all one. We're all part of the same divine essence. Talking about this reminds me of a time in Atlanta when I used to go to Unity Church in Atlanta, which was a very inspirational, non-denominational church. And I was a little floored at the time when the minister asked us to all turn around and look at the person sitting behind us and look into their eyes and say, "I see the Christ in you." First, I thought it had to do with Jesus. I realized it didn't. It had to do with human potential, spiritual potential, because Jesus was a Christed being. A Christed being is someone who realizes their spiritual potential. It's a human being who realizes their spiritual and human potential. And that is our potential. Looking into somebody's eyes and saying, "I see the Christ in you," is the same as saying, "I see the divinity in you. I see the divine spark within you. I see your soul. I see your spirit." And seeing the Christ in someone, that's seeing their potential. And every one of us has that potential to be a Christed being. To me, when you can see God in everything, when you can stay attuned to the divine presence, everything in your life and in the world seems somehow perfectly aligned. I don't mean that you suddenly feel that war is okay, or that your husband cheating on you or your wife cheating on you is fine, or that your boss firing you feels good, or that your kids fighting doesn't jangle your nerves and make you want to shout. But you realize that everything that's happening and everything around you is all part of Source. You begin to simply see God and God's plan everywhere. You realize that it's all working out as it should on some level, and it must be because it's all Source, or part of Source, or from Source. You're experiencing the divine presence in everything. I guess you could say you have faith, and you take comfort in that faith. And you don't feel alone with any of what happens in your life. You feel that constant connection to the divine presence. You feel her or him or it here with you. In fact, every time you focus your thoughts on the divine presence, the connection to all that is becomes stronger, which is why it's so important to try and retain that focus more often during your week than just on Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday, or during your meditation practice. Those activities remind you for a little bit that you're always connected to Source, that you can experience the divine presence. But they may not keep you focused on that for very long. And that's why I often talk about creating sacred space in your home or in your office and using it. Because the more often you use the sacred space, the more often you feel your connection. The more often you focus on Source and invite the divine presence into your experience. And I'll do an episode on the topic of sacred space in 2 weeks. I think I mentioned that I would do this some time ago, quite a while ago maybe, but I never did it, so I will do that next time. Anyway, when you learn to recognize and feel your connection to the divine presence, you see the divine everywhere. And your children's smiles and tears, and the flowers blooming, and the storm raging, and the sunset and the rainbow, and your friends or lovers' eyes, and the money flowing in and out, in birth and death, and solar eclipse. Everywhere you look, the divine presence is there. And then, while you might in the past have been like Jacob in the Bible, again, getting a little, not really religious, just making reference to sacred text, but like Jacob in the Bible, who woke from his dream about the angels and the ladder going up to heaven and said, "God was in this place and I did not know." Instead, you will be able to say, "Source is in this place. The divine presence is in this place and I know it. I see it in every moment of every day and I experience it." And that's an amazing way to live your life, is it not? Changes everything. So I promised 12 tips, and I do want to share them. I want to share my 12 tips for connecting with the divine every day, at work, during your shopping, driving home, or spending time with colleagues and friends and family, no matter what's happening. So let's dive into those tips. Let me take a drink again first. Okay. every little thing you do that keeps the divine presence, source, God, all that is, at the forefront of your mind, or that acknowledges the divine presence, lends a spiritual quality to your day. So it's helpful to have a few tips or tools to use. Now remember, you are where your thoughts are. Think about source. You will be with source. Focus on feeling connected to the divine presence, and you will feel connected. All right, let's start with tips for everyday life in general. So the first tip is make time for the divine presence throughout the day. So despite the fact that everyone these days feels too busy to add anything else into their schedule, it is possible to take a time out for source or God or all that is periodically. You can set your watch to ring every hour or three times a day, whatever you want, and as it does, just look around and become conscious of the divine presence being everywhere and in everything. Try to feel the divine presence. You can close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. Just feel it. Okay, number two is use blessings. You can use the same technique and offer a silent blessing for something you see or something that happened at that moment. So again, set some alarms on your phone, and just when it goes off, offer a silent blessing. Blessings are a wonderful tool for connecting with the divine throughout the day, which is probably why, again, I'm showing my Jewish background, why in Judaism you're supposed to say 100 blessings a day. So bless others, bless yourself, bless God. You can say a blessing before you eat your snack, drink your coffee, eat your lunch. Many, many religions have a tradition of saying a blessing or grace before or after a meal. But say a blessing when you see a rosebud, hear, you know, have a near miss while driving, see your child smile, get a kiss from your dog. So many ways or reasons to say a blessing. And then tip number three is to use a blessing format, because when you have a format, it's easy, you can memorize it. And again, while my spiritual beliefs and practices are super eclectic and woo-woo, I was raised Jewish and spent a lot of time while raising my kids studying Judaism and the Jewish mystical tradition of Kabbalah or Kabbalah. So this knowledge just seems to bubble up at times like now. So I'm going to mention that in Judaism, blessings tend to be a way of blessing God and saying we're grateful for what we have. Each blessing follows the same format. Blessed are you, source, for giving us blank. And you can fill in the blank. So my kids and I used to use this type of blessing for everything from saying, blessed are you, source, or God, for giving us this rainbow. Or to, you know, blessed are you, source, for creating this flower. Or blessed are you, source, for providing us with the money to go get school clothes. In that same vein, you can create a format of your own. And that way it's easy to say the blessings. And you can offer prayers of gratitude to source. You know, gratitude is the strongest prayer of all. And gratitude for what we already have and for what we want and know is coming to us, even if we don't have it yet, is super powerful, even if you don't know how you're going to create it. Remember to thank the divine presence every time something good happens, okay? Number four, make prayer a part of your everyday life. I'm not talking about religious prayer. You can ask for assistance each time you write an email, in your business, or answer the phone, or start a business deal, or drive your car. You can pray for health, happiness, love. Prayers are you speaking to the divine presence, to source. Meditation is you listening. Okay, tip number five is talk to God. Again, prayer doesn't have to be formal. Just talk to God. When you exercise or go for a walk, talk to the divine presence. I love doing this, and even sometimes do it on my bicycle. Just open up your heart and talk to the divine presence. You can do it in the labyrinth if you want, or you can do it just taking your dog for a walk, whenever. Okay, tip number six is to create sacred space in your home. And again, in the next episode, I'll explain how to do that. But it's pretty simple. You know, just put a little white cloth on a little table and put a candle and a crystal and, you know, a picture of an ancestor or whatever there, and you've created a sacred space. You know, use a little incense or sage, smudge. You've created sacred space. But creating sacred space is a great way to see the divine in your life and to increase your consciousness of the divine. Make your home a sanctuary so you feel you're in the church or the mosque or the synagogue every day, even if it's just in a little space. I personally like to make my whole home feel like that. Okay, so let's move on to tips for the workplace. Number 7 is to create a sacred space in your office. So creating sacred space can be, like I said, as simple as lighting a candle each morning or, you know, having this little table or whatever, right? So you can do that in your office. You could light a candle every morning when you enter your office or cubicle or say a short prayer asking to feel and see God's presence during your workday. If you can't light a candle at work, which often is the case, maybe you can burn incense or use one of those aromatherapy dispensers or misters, right? Or put scented oils on yourself or spray lavender or sage around your office when you show up in the morning or after meetings. You can play soft music or place sacred objects on your desk. Even a crystal or stone will do the trick. The point is to invite the divine presence to join you at work, to coexist with you during the workday. In other words, create a sanctuary both for yourself and for the divine presence, and your work will take on a more spiritual nature. And if you don't feel like you can put any of this stuff out, you know what? Put it in a drawer. Just open the drawer once an hour and look at the stuff, you know, look at your sacred objects. All right, number 8 is to use intention. Voice the intention to have your workday feel spiritual. Intention offers an often overlooked energy that helps you achieve your goals and realize your dreams. So when you light your candle each morning or whatever it is you're going to do, add to your prayers your intention to feel and see the divine presence during the day. If you feel uncomfortable lighting a candle in the office, you know, then simply stop in the doorway and voice that intention. Number 9 is to meditate. Now, I know you're in the office. We're talking about tips for work, but you can sit at your desk when you first arrive in the office and meditate for a minute or two while you visualize your intentions becoming reality, including the intention to feel the divine presence. I mean, what would your day look like if the divine presence accompanied you to work? Try to feel what that would be like and to visualize it. You can do that, you know, once a day or more often, because combining your thoughts and feelings in that manner helps you create what you desire. Or just stop for a minute or two, you know, just close your door or whatever and just sit for a minute or two. You can even do it with your eyes open if you think people are going to think you're napping. Just sit and meditate. Listen. Ask to hear the divine presence. Okay. What about when you're shopping, driving, doing chores, etc.? Tip number 10 is to do karma yoga. All the things you do are karma yoga. Work for source. I once interviewed one of the high priests from Babaji's temple in India when he was here in the U.S., and I asked him what I needed to do to become fully realized spiritually. He told me to focus on caring for my family. He didn't say go meditate or pray every day. He just said focus on your family. If we do all the things we do every day with a spiritual focus and an intention on doing them from a place of being conscious of the divine, we're always doing spiritual work, and we always feel connected to the divine. And if we're always giving, we're always connected to divine. A topic for another day. Okay, number 11 is to create the divine's to-do list. You can do this for work or for other things you need to get done, but don't feel that you can get to them or you don't know how you're going to get them done. In those cases, you make a to-do list for the divine presence. Now, I learned this trick from Esther Hicks, Jerry and Esther Hicks. They were the ones who created it together, I think. But anyway, it comes from Abraham Hicks. And you probably know Esther Hicks channels Abraham. Anyway, you take a piece of paper and you put a line down the middle, and on one side is your to-do list, and on the other side is the divine's to-do list. And when you see the divine's to-do list next to your own, you'll know the divine presence is working in your life all the time. It's a lovely, you know, reminder. Okay, and tip number 12 is for when you're with friends or colleagues or family. Always remember that we're spiritual beings having human experience. You've chosen to be here in the human body, but in the process of coming into this physical world, you forget that you are a divine being. And you forget that we're all one, connected, and all of us have the potential to become Christ's being. Inside each and every person, there is a divine, pure soul and spirit. See that in others. And you will connect with their divine essence and feel your connection to your own divine essence. So I've heard it said before that we choose to leave the non-physical and come into the physical, and in the process we forget who we are, and that part of our lesson or part of our human experience involves remembering who we are, and that we're part and parcel of God, collective consciousness, source, all that it is, whatever you want to call it, divine presence. However, there are stories of this in so many different traditions. In the Jewish version, we're taught everything we need to learn while we're in the womb by an angel. And then right before we're born, the angel kisses us right below our nose on our upper lip and removes all our memories. And that's why we have the little indentation on our lip. Anyway, it then becomes our job to remember who we are. We forget that we're part and parcel of the divine, of all that is, and source is always accessible. It's a lovely story, I can't remember where it comes from, of a baby who, his parents bring home a new sibling from the hospital, right? So they have a second child, and the baby is in the crib, and he asks if he can go in there to talk to the baby, and the parents are a little worried that he might be jealous and harm the baby. And so they turn on the baby monitor and they let him go in, and he stands with his hands on the rungs of the crib and he looks at his new sibling and he says, can you remind me what God looks like? Can you remind me what God looks like? I have forgotten. We forget. We forget what it's like to be connected, to be part of the all. But the divine presence is here now and always. It doesn't look a certain way, but we can see it and experience it. We simply need to focus on that, to be aware of the divine presence, to place our attention on our constant connection and the constant presence of Source, and then we'll feel it, sense it, know it. I realize that connecting to the divine can sometimes seem like the hardest with friends and colleagues and family and other people, or when we watch the news. Humans don't always act like the wise spiritual beings we are at our essence. So then we become reactive. So we have to learn to get past the outer appearances, the external behaviors, the words we use, the actions we take, to see past this into who we really are. Divine beings, souls connected, God, sparks of divinity, little bits of Source living human lives. We are the collective consciousness. And when we do this, we connect to the divine all the time, in every relationship with every person in every situation. We become all that is. Now, I often say that I see this as reading a sacred text every day. Many sacred texts are said to contain the words of God, but since each person is part of Source, their words also come from Source on some level. So when we listen to what they say, when we read between the words, between the silences, we're reading a sacred text. We also can read their behaviors in this way. When we look at our lives and the world around us, we know it's all part of Source. And we can read it, interpret it, as if we were reading the sacred text and finding the secrets there for us. Mystics looked for hidden messages and codes and information in the words and spaces and letters and combinations of words and letters of the ancient text. And we can read everything around us the same way. We can read a sacred text all day long in this way and stay constantly connected to divine presence and constantly receiving divine guidance. I'm actually working on a book related to this. Maybe I'll share more about that in a future episode. many, many people had spiritual experiences during the eclipse, the recent solar eclipse. They felt awe for what the divine or source has created. And humans feel very small in that. You know, if you have a small, you feel like I have a small part in that. So they felt small, and they felt the expansiveness of the creator, and they felt the oneness with other humans and with source. But today, even though it's not an eclipse, I want you to look around and notice the divine presence. Focus your attention on the divine presence. Feel it, recognize it, acknowledge it, even if you can't see it. Offer gratitude for the divine presence. Do that every day, and you're going to have the divine presence in your daily experience. Not sometimes, or on special days or occasions, but every day. You'll have an experience of your connection to all that is. And stop telling yourself that you aren't experiencing something spiritual, aren't feeling the divine presence. If you focus on that you're not connected, that you're not having a spiritual experience, that you don't feel the divine presence, on not being spiritually connected, if that's where your focus is, that's where you will find yourself. That will be your experience. If you focus on the fact that you're spiritually connected at all times and the divine presence is surrounding you at all times, and you even look for proof for that or of that, that's what you'll find, and that's what you'll experience. All right, so I'm going to take a drink, and I'm going to check my email and see if we have any callers or any questions. Okay, so we have some questions. Yeah, Nicole says, you sound a bit stuffed up. That's what's hanging on the cough. Okay, questions. Irene in the UK. Hi, Irene. Irene says, I've been having anxiety attacks recently, and I think it's about worrying about my income and upcoming work project. Telling myself everything is fine, but I'm still anxious. What can you recommend? Well, if you're worrying, Irene, about income and your work project, you're going to be anxious. You can't just tell yourself everything is fine. You said, telling myself everything is fine, but I'm still anxious. You have to focus all your attention on everything working out correctly. You know, working out for your highest good and for the highest good of all concerned. You have to stop worrying about income. And boy, do I know this, because for many, many years, I have been focused on the fact that I'm not earning enough. But the more you focus on not earning enough and worrying about where the money's coming from and all that, the more you experience lack. So you have to focus on something else. It doesn't even have to be on money flowing in, but it can be. You can affirm and you can visualize, you know, money flowing in and piling up in your bank account. You can do that. But you can also just go for a run and look at nature or do something else. But take your mind off worrying about your income and worrying about your upcoming work project. Just do the best you can. Put your heart and soul into this work project and just know that it's going to work out. Know that it will work out for the highest, your highest good and the highest good of everyone else. But as long as you are focused on worrying and you're just telling yourself everything is fine, you know, that's not going to be enough, especially if you're still anxious. See, the thing is, if you're still anxious, that is a sign that your focus is still on worry. Anxiety comes from a focus on worry. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people with anxiety disorders. My daughter has an anxiety disorder, and so does my son. But they get in a mental loop thinking about the thing that they don't want to have happen, and they get anxious. Okay? So stop worrying. Put your attention on something else. Okay? Do things that make you feel good. All right. Hope that helped, Irene. Now we have Julie in New York. I've been trying to attend every business networking meeting I can to gain new clients. Everyone seems to focus on their own thing and what they want over supporting each other. Do you have any advice on how to network more effectively or what I should do instead? Well, when you're networking, if most of your attention is on how other people can help you, then that's going to come across. That's number one. So networking really needs to be about you being very focused on the other people and how you can help them. It's about giving to others, right? Supporting others. Now, you say that they're focused on their own thing and what they want over supporting other people. Okay, but so it also, if that's what you believe, that's what you're going to see. Okay, so you have to see them as wanting to support you. But first, you have to be willing to give to them. So go listen to them. What are their needs, right? And see how you can support them. Come with a more positive attitude, you know, about them wanting to support you and to support others, okay? And then from a high-performance coaching perspective, I would put into place some persuasion strategies or influence strategies. I would be asking them how you can support them. What is it they want to accomplish? What is it that they need, want? And then I would be offering to support them in that, but also I would be asking, I'd be coming up with a strategy, and you'll have to do it on the spot, of how you can help them get what they want by you getting what you want. So persuasion is, that's a lot of what persuasion is about, is helping people see how you can help them get what they want, but in the process, you're actually getting what you want, and they don't even have to know that. But from a spiritual perspective, you have to go there and just want to give unconditionally, even if that's not their intention. You go and you give unintentionally. Unconditionally, and then you will receive in response. So I hope that's helpful. Okay. Donna in Ontario, Canada. I keep finding myself stuck in analysis paralysis. How can I stop doing that? So analysis paralysis is a lot like overthinking. I think it's really just the same, different word, different phrase for it. And that comes from feeling insecure about your decisions. Okay. So I would give yourself a limit, like a deadline on how long you allow yourself to analyze something before you actually take some kind of action. And think about it. You know, when in the past have you taken an action, made a decision, taken an action, and it didn't work out? Maybe it's a lot of times, but did you die? Like, did something really horrible happen? Or are you still here to tell the story? Sounds to me like you're still here to tell the story. And if it doesn't go the way you wanted, you still learn. That's part of this human playground. We make decisions and they work out or they don't. And the universe is always responding to our decisions and our actions. And it's eventually, one way or another, helping us get to whatever is for our highest good. All right, so give yourself a deadline. Remind yourself that everything's always working out for your highest good, perfect time, perfect way, and make a decision and take some action, okay? The other thing you can do is just really tap into your intuition, because your spiritual guidance, because analysis paralysis is coming from your brain, which wants to keep you safe and thinks that any new decision or new action is unsafe. And so that analysis paralysis is coming from your brain. It's not coming from your spiritual guidance. Get quiet and just ask, what decision should I make? What action should I take? Maybe not should. What what decision or which act, what action is for my highest good and the highest good of all concerned. And whatever the first thing is that pops in your mind, go with that. Okay? All right. One last question from Julian, or maybe it's Julianne. Julian, that's my son's name, Julian, in Arizona, my neighbor. I'm struggling with being consistent in my work. I work remotely now and lack the motivation to work. I don't want to not work outside anymore, so I have to figure this out. What can I do? Work outside. I'm struggling with being consistent in my work. I work remotely, so from home. Lack the motivation. I don't want to not work outside anymore. So you don't want to work outside the home is what you're saying, I think. You want to keep working remotely, but you want to have the motivation. So the question I would ask you, Julian, is it the work that's unmotivating? Like, do you just not want to do that work? You just want a different job, something that's more interesting to you, maybe something that's more in line with your life's work? If so, you need to change your job, I think. I mean, I can't tell you to do that, but if it were me, I'd be looking for work that motivated me and inspired me. If, however, it's just that you're at home and it's easy to go sit down with a bag of chips and watch Netflix instead of work, I understand that. I mean, I've worked at home for a long time, and I can tell you that, you know, I don't do any of the procrastination stuff. Like, I don't do laundry. My husband goes and does laundry when he wants a break. I don't do those things. I just, you know, keep working. But I would suggest that you work on self-integrity. So self-integrity is keeping your promises to yourself. Just decide to who you want to be. So this is an identity issue. You can decide to be someone who's motivated even though you work at home. So when you shift your identity, your habits and your mindsets fall in line. So like somebody who has self-integrity, if you tell yourself that you're going to work from 8 to 2 every day, you keep that promise to yourself. So ask yourself who you want to be. Do you want to be someone who has self-integrity? Do you want to be someone who's motivated? Do you want to be somebody who, is inspired by their work? Try shifting your identity. Also, I would really set yourself some hours. You know, say this is when I work, and then again, keep that promise to yourself. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Julian. Okay, you can always reach out if, you know, anyone who asks questions, you can always reach out if you have more questions for me. All right, so that brings us almost to the end of my session today, my episode today. So I will tell you a little bit about how to work with me. So most of you know I'm an intuitive transformational coach and a certified high performance coach. I'm also an intuitive reader. So there are lots of different ways to work with me. For example, you can hire me for one-on-one private intuitive transformational coaching. I used to call this inspired results coaching. The results, they're your creations. So it's about being someone who can take the actions that allow you to create what matters to you. Now you can purchase one session with me or four. These are spiritually oriented, as you know, sort of personal and spiritual growth. I will use my intuition, sometimes pull cards, but I'd say it's more hard-hitting than life coaching. I don't think of transformational coaching as just your average life coaching. It's very results-oriented, and I'm trying to help you get those inspired results and create what you want. So if that's of interest to you, you can go to ninaamir.com. So it's N-I-N-A. A-M-I-R, two A's in the middle, .com/T C for transformational coaching. So ninaamir.com/TC. I do have a group transformational coaching program. If that's more in line with your wallet, reach out and ask about that, or scroll down the page when you get there to the purchase button, and below it is a link for group coaching. And I'm also, I'm certified by the High Performance Institute, founded by Brendan Burchard, since 2015. In conjunction with my intuition and experience as a coach, I deliver his world-class science-backed proven curriculum to clients. There are 48 total sessions, but we start with 12 sessions, usually delivered over 6 months, sometimes it's 3 months. If you're familiar with Brendan Burchard and have wanted to get coached in this method, then this is for you. It's a holistic method that impacts every area of your life and helps you level up in so many ways. You can just go to ninaamir.com/ all capital letters CHPC, ninaamir.com/ capital CHPC for certified high performance coach. I'm currently looking for 3 to 4 more people for certified high performance group coaching. I have 2 people ready to go, and I need a few more to make it more affordable for everyone. So if that interests you, email me or the station. You can email me at nina@ninaamir.com with the word interested in the subject line and mention my show and certified high performance coaching, and I'll give you a 30-minute intuitive reading when you join. Lastly, I also offer intuitive readings. Just go to ninaamir.com/intuit, this time all lowercase. I don't know why. ninaamir.com/intuit. I learned how to read tarot cards many, many years ago, but I was not allowed to learn what they meant, only to use my intuition. That's how I learned. I use lots of different oracle cards, but I get intuitive hits. I also do Akashic readings to some extent. Lastly, I always mention the Inspired Creator Community. It's now, though, a 6-month-long container. It's a community of people who all want to create what matters to them, who want to be creators, inspired creators. They want to follow their intuition and the still small voice of their souls and courageously take action on their spiritual guidance and create the things that matter most to them. The spiritual and personal growth coaching and training program. If you want to be the first notified when the doors open again in August 2024, get on the wait list by going to ninaamir.com/, and then all capitals, ICC wait 2024. ninaamir.com/, all capital letters, ICC wait 2024. Of course, follow me on social. Just search for Nina Amir or Inspiration to Creation Coach. Reach out. Tell me that you found me here at News for the Soul. Thank you all so much for listening. And until I talk to you next, go out there and achieve more inspired results.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.